family, eating and drinking whatever they give you, because workers are worth what they earn. Don't move around from house to house. If the people of a town welcome you, eat whatever they offer. Heal their sick and say, God's kingdom will soon be here. But if the people of a town refuse to welcome you, go out into the street and say, we are shaking the dust from our feet as a warning to you, and you can be sure that God's kingdom will soon be here. I tell you that on the day of judgment, the people of Sodom will get off easier than the people of that town. The unbelieving towns. You people of Chorazin are in for trouble. You people of Bethsaida are also in for trouble. If the miracles that took place in your towns had happened in Tyre and Sidon, the people there would have turned to God long ago. They would have dressed in sackcloth and put ashes on their heads. On the day of judgment, the people of Tyre and Sidon will get off easier than you will. People of Capernaum, do you think you will be honored in heaven? Well, you will go down to hell. My followers, whoever listens to you is listening to me. Anyone who says no to you is saying no to me. And anyone who says no to me is really saying no to the one who sent me. The Return of the 72. When the 72 followers returned, they were excited and said, Lord, even the demons obeyed when we spoke in your name. Jesus told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. I have given you the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to defeat the power of your enemy, Satan. Nothing can harm you. But don't be happy because evil spirits obey you. Be happy that your names are written in heaven. Jesus thanks his Father. At that same time, Jesus felt the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, and he said, My Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I am grateful that you hid all this from wise and educated people and showed it to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that is what pleased you. My Father has given me everything, and he is the only one who knows the Son. The only one who really knows the Father is the Son. But the Son wants to tell others about the Father so that they can know him too. Jesus then turned to his disciples and said to them in private, You are really blessed to see what you see. Many prophets and kings were eager to see what you see and to hear what you hear. But I tell you that they did not see or hear. The Good Samaritan. An expert in the law of Moses stood up and asked Jesus a question to see what he would say. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus answered, What is written in the scriptures? How do you understand them? The man replied, The scriptures say, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. They also say, Love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. Jesus said, You have given the right answer. If you do this, you will have eternal life. But the man wanted to show that he knew what he was talking about. So he asked Jesus, Who are my neighbors? Jesus replied, As a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, robbers attacked him and grabbed everything he had. They beat him up and ran off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, but when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. Later, a temple helper came to the same place, but when he saw the man who had been beaten up, he also went by on the other side. A man from Samaria then came traveling along that road. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him and went over to him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next morning, he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins and said, Please take care of the man. If you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return. Then Jesus asked, Which one of these 3 people was a real neighbor to the man who was beaten up by robbers? the teacher answered. The one who showed pity. Jesus said, Go and do the same. Martha and Mary. The Lord and his disciples were traveling along and came to a village. When they got there, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down in front of the Lord and was listening to what he said. Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Finally, she went to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it bother you that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. Prayer. Chapter 11. When Jesus had finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his followers to pray. So Jesus told them, Pray in this way. Father, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us. And keep us from being tempted. Then Jesus went on to say, Suppose one of you goes to a friend in the middle of the night and says, Let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has dropped in, and I don't have a thing for him to eat. And suppose your friend answers, Don't bother me. The door is bolted, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you something. He may not get up and give you the bread, just because you are his friend, but he will get up and give you as much as you need, simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. So I tell you to ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be opened for everyone who knocks. Which one of you fathers would give your hungry child a snake if the child asked for a fish? Which one of you would give your child a scorpion if the child asked for an egg? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. Jesus and the ruler of demons. Jesus forced a demon out of a man who could not talk. And after the demon had gone out, the man started speaking. And the crowds were amazed. But some people said, He forces out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Others wanted to put Jesus to the test. So they asked him to show them a sign from God. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, A kingdom where people fight each other will end up in ruin, and a family that fights will break up. If Satan fights against himself, how can his kingdom last? Yet you say that I force out demons by the power of Beelzebul. If I use his power to force out demons, whose power do your own followers use to force them out? They are the ones who will judge you. But if I use God's power to force out demons, it proves that God's kingdom has already come to you. When a strong man arms himself and guards his home, everything he owns is safe. But if a stronger man comes and defeats him, he will carry off the weapons in which the strong man trusted. Then he will divide with others what he has taken. If you are not on my side, you are against me. If you don't gather in the crop with me, you scatter it. Return of an evil spirit. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it travels through the desert, looking for a place to rest. But when it doesn't find a place, it says, I will go back to the home I left. When it gets there and finds the place clean and fixed up, it goes off and finds 7 other evil spirits even worse than itself. They all come and make their home there, and that person ends up in worse shape than before. Being really blessed. While Jesus was still talking, a woman in the crowd spoke up. The woman who gave birth to you and nursed you is blessed.
Jesus replied, That's true. But the people who are really blessed are the ones who hear and obey God's message.
A sign from God. As crowds were gathering around Jesus, he said,
You people of today are evil. You keep looking for a sign from God. But what happened to Jonah is the only sign you will be given. Just as Jonah was assigned to the people of Nineveh, the Son of Man will be assigned to the people of today. When the judgment comes, the Queen of the South will stand there with you and condemn you. She traveled a long way to hear Solomon's wisdom, and yet here is something far greater than Solomon. The people of Nineveh will also stand there with you and condemn you. They turned to God when Jonah preached, and yet here is something far greater than Jonah.
Light.
No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a clay pot. A lamp is put on a lampstand, so that everyone who comes into the house can see the light. Your eyes are the lamp for your body. When your eyes are good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. So be sure that your light isn't darkness. If you have light and nothing is dark, then light will be everywhere, as when a lamp shines brightly on you.
Jesus condemns the Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses. When Jesus finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him home for a meal. Jesus went and sat down to eat. The Pharisee was surprised that he did not wash his hands before eating. So the Lord said to him, You Pharisees clean the outside of cups and dishes, but on the inside you are greedy and evil. You fools! Didn't God make both the outside and the inside? If you would only give what you have to the poor, everything you do would please God. You Pharisees are in for trouble. You give God a tenth of the spices from your gardens, such as mint and rue. But you cheat people, and you don't love God. You should be fair and kind to others and still give a tenth to God. You Pharisees are in for trouble. You love the front seats in the meeting places, and you like to be greeted with honor in the market. But you are in for trouble. You are like unmarked graves that people walk on without even knowing it.
A teacher of the law of Moses spoke up.
Teacher, you said cruel things about us.
Jesus replied, You teachers are also in for trouble. You load people down with heavy burdens, but you won't lift a finger to help them carry the loads. Yes, you are really in for trouble. You build monuments to honor the prophets your own people murdered long ago. You must think that was the right thing for your people to do, or else you would not have built monuments for the prophets they murdered. Because of your evil deeds, the wisdom of God said, I will send prophets and apostles to you, but you will murder some and mistreat others. You people living today will be punished for all the prophets who have been murdered since the beginning of the world. This includes every prophet from the time of Abel to the time of Zechariah, who was murdered between the altar and the temple. You people will certainly be punished for all of this. You teachers of the law of Moses are really in for trouble. You carry the keys to the door of knowledge about God, but you never go in, and you keep others from going in.
Jesus was about to leave, but the teachers and the Pharisees wanted to get even with him. They tried to make him say what he thought about other things, so that they could catch him saying something wrong.
Warnings. Chapter 12. As thousands of people crowded around Jesus and were stepping on each other, he told his disciples, Be sure to guard against the dishonest teaching of the Pharisees. It is their way of fooling people. Everything that is hidden will be found out, and every secret will be known. Whatever you say in the dark will be heard when it is day. Whatever you whisper in a closed room will be shouted from the housetops.
The one to fear.
My friends, don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but after that, There is nothing else they can do. God is the one you must fear. Not only can he take your life, but he can throw you into hell. God is certainly the one you should fear. 5 sparrows are sold for just 2 pennies, but God doesn't forget a one of them. Even the hairs on your head are counted, so don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. Telling others about Christ. If you tell others that you belong to me, the Son of Man will tell God's angels that you are my followers. But if you reject me, you will be rejected in front of them. If you speak against the Son of Man, you can be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven. When you are brought to trial in the Jewish meeting places or before rulers or officials, don't worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. At that time, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. A rich fool. A man in a crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of what our father left us when he died." Jesus answered, "Who gave me the right to settle arguments between you and your brother?" Then he said to the crowd, "Don't be greedy. Owning a lot of things won't make your life safe." So Jesus told them this story. A rich man's farm produced a big crop, and he said to himself, "What can I do? I don't have a place large enough to store everything." Later he said, "Now I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones where I can store all my grain and other goods. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up enough good things to last for years to come. Live it up. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "You fool. Tonight you will die. Then who will get what you have stored up?" This is what happens to people who store up everything for themselves, but are poor in the sight of God. Worry. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat or wear. Life is more than food or clothing. Look at the crows. They don't plant or harvest, and they don't have storehouses or barns, but God takes care of them. You are much more important than any birds. Can worry make you live longer? If you don't have power over small things, why worry about everything else? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes. But I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of these flowers. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. Won't he do even more for you? You have such little faith. Don't keep worrying about having something to eat or drink. Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father knows what you need. But put God's work first, and these things will be yours as well. Treasures in heaven. My little group of disciples, don't be afraid. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give the money to the poor. Make yourselves money bags that never wear out. Make sure your treasure is safe in heaven, where thieves cannot steal it and moths cannot destroy it. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Faithful and unfaithful servants. Be ready and keep your lamps burning, just like those servants who wait up for their master to return from a wedding feast. As soon as he comes and knocks, they open the door for him. Servants are fortunate if their master finds them awake and ready when he comes. I promise you that he will get ready and have his servants sit down so he can serve them. Those servants are really fortunate if their master finds them ready, even though he comes late at night or early in the morning. You would surely not let a thief break into your home if you knew when the thief was coming. so always be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man will come.
Peter asked Jesus, "Did you say this just for us or for everyone?"
The Lord answered, "Who are faithful and wise servants? Who are the ones the master will put in charge of giving the other servants their food supplies at the proper time? Servants are fortunate if their master comes and finds them doing their job. A servant who is always faithful will surely be put in charge of everything the master owns. But suppose one of the servants thinks that the master won't return until late. Suppose that servant starts beating all the other servants and eats and drinks and gets drunk. If that happens, the master will come on a day and at a time when the servant least expects him. That servant will then be punished and thrown out with the servants who cannot be trusted. If servants are not ready or willing to do what their master wants them to do, they will be beaten hard. But servants who don't know what their master wants them to do will not be beaten so hard for doing wrong. If God has been generous with you, he will expect you to serve him well. But if he has been more than generous, he will expect you to serve him even better. Not peace, but trouble. I came to set fire to the earth, and I wish it were already on fire. I am going to be put to a hard test, and I will have to suffer a lot of pain until it is over. Do you think that I came to bring peace to earth? No, indeed. I came to make people choose sides. A family of five will be divided, with two of them against the other three. Fathers and sons will turn against one another, and mothers and daughters will do the same. Mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law will also turn against each other. Knowing what to do. Jesus said to all the people, "As soon as you see a cloud coming up in the west, you say, 'It's going to rain.' And it does. When the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to get hot.' And it does. Are you trying to fool someone? You can predict the weather by looking at the earth and sky, but you don't really know what's going on right now. Why don't you understand the right thing to do? When someone accuses you of something, try to settle things before you are taken to court. If you don't, you will be dragged before the judge. Then the judge will hand you over to the jailer, and you will be locked up. You won't get out until you have paid the last cent you owe." Turn back to God. Chapter 13. About this same time, Jesus was told that Pilate had given orders for some people from Galilee to be killed while they were offering sacrifices. Jesus replied, "Do you think that these people were worse sinners than everyone else in Galilee just because of what happened to them? Not at all. But you can be sure that if you don't turn back to God, every one of you will also be killed. What about those 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were worse than everyone else in Jerusalem? Not at all. But you can be sure that if you don't turn back to God, every one of you will also die." A story about a fig tree. Jesus then told them this story. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. One day he went out to pick some figs, but he didn't find any. So he said to the gardener, "For 3 years I've come looking for figs on this tree, and I haven't found any yet. Chop it down. Why should it take up space?" The gardener answered, "Master, leave it for another year. I'll dig around it and put some manure on it to make it grow. Maybe it will have figs on it next year. If it doesn't, you can have it cut down." Healing a woman on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a Jewish meeting place, and a woman was there who had been crippled by an evil spirit for 18 years. She was completely bent over and could not straighten up. When Jesus saw the woman, he called her over and said, "You are now well." He placed his hands on her, and right away she stood up straight and praised God. The man in charge of the meeting place was angry because Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath. So he said to the people, "Each week has 6 days when we can work. Come and be healed on one of those days, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord replied, "Are you trying to fool someone? Won't any one of you untie your ox or donkey and lead it out to drink on a Sabbath? This woman belongs to the family of Abraham, but Satan has kept her bound for 18 years. Isn't it right to set her free on the Sabbath?" Jesus' words made his enemies ashamed. But everyone else in the crowd was happy about the wonderful things he was doing. A mustard seed and yeast. Jesus said, "What is God's kingdom like? What can I compare it with? It is like what happens when someone plants a mustard seed in a garden. The seed grows as big as a tree, and birds nest in its branches." Then Jesus said, "What can I compare God's kingdom with? It is like what happens when a woman mixes yeast into 3 batches of flour. Finally, all the dough rises." The Narrow Door. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he taught the people in the towns and villages. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Jesus answered, "Do all you can to go in by the narrow door. A lot of people will try to get in, but will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and locks the door, you will be left standing outside. You will knock on the door and say, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But the owner will answer, 'I don't know a thing about you.' Then you will start saying, 'We dined with you and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I really don't know who you are. Get away from me, you evil people.' Then when you have been thrown outside, you will weep and grit your teeth because you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in God's kingdom. People will come from all directions and sit down to feast in God's kingdom. There the ones who are now least important will be the most important, and those who are now most important will be least important." Jesus and Herod. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "You had better get away from here. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'I am going to force out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and 3 days later I'll be through. But I am going on my way today and tomorrow and the next day. After all, Jerusalem is the place where prophets are killed." Jesus loves Jerusalem. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your people have killed the prophets and have stoned the messengers who were sent to you. I have often wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Now your temple will be deserted. You won't see me again until the time when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus heals a sick man. Chapter 14. One Sabbath, Jesus was having dinner in the home of an important Pharisee, and everyone was carefully watching Jesus. All of a sudden, a man with swollen legs stood up in front of him. Jesus turned and asked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses, "Is it right to heal on the Sabbath?" But they did not say a word. Jesus took hold of the man. Then he healed him and sent him away. Afterwards, Jesus asked the people, "If your son or ox falls into a well, wouldn't you pull him out right away, even on the Sabbath?" There was nothing they could say. How to be a guest. Jesus saw how the guests had tried to take the best seats. So he told them, When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the best place. Someone more important may have been invited. Then the one who invited you will come and say, "Give your place to this other guest." You will be embarrassed and will have to sit in the worst place. When you are invited to be a guest, go and sit in the worst place. Then the one who invited you may come and say, "My friend, take a better seat." You will then be honored in front of all the other guests. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored. Then Jesus said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends and family and relatives and rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return and you will be paid back. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They cannot pay you back. But God will bless you and reward you when his people rise from death." The Great Banquet. After Jesus had finished speaking, one of the guests said, "The greatest blessing of all is to be at the banquet in God's kingdom." Jesus told him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited a lot of guests. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to tell the guests, 'Everything is ready. Please come.' One guest after another started making excuses. The first one said, 'I bought some land and I've got to look it over. Please excuse me.' Another guest said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen and I need to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another guest said, 'I have just gotten married and I can't be there.' The servant told his master what happened, and the master became so angry that he said, 'Go as fast as you can to every street and alley in town. Bring in everyone who is poor or crippled or blind or lame.' When the servant returned, he said, 'Master, I've done what you told me, and there is still plenty of room for more people.' His master then told him, 'Go out along the back roads and fence rows and make people come in, so that my house will be full. Not one of the guests I first invited will get even a bite of my food.'" Being a disciple. Large crowds were walking along with Jesus when he turned and said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and children, and your brothers and sisters. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than you love your own life. You cannot be my disciple unless you carry your own cross and come with me. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. What is the first thing you will do? Won't you sit down and figure out how much it will cost and if you have enough money to pay for it? Otherwise, you will start building the tower but not be able to finish. Then everyone who sees what is happening will laugh at you. They will say, 'You started building, but could not finish the job.' What will a king do if he has only 10,000 soldiers to defend himself against a king who is about to attack him with 20,000 soldiers? Before he goes out to battle, won't he first sit down and decide if he can win? If he thinks he won't be able to defend himself, he will send messengers and ask for peace while the other king is still a long way off. So then, you cannot be my disciple unless you give away everything you own." Salt and light. Salt is good, but if it no longer tastes like salt, how can it be made to taste salty again? It is no longer good for the soil or even for the manure pile. People simply throw it out. If you have ears, pay attention. One Sheep. Chapter 15. Tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling, "This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them." Then Jesus told them this story. "If any of you has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulder and carry it home. Then you will call on your friends and neighbors and say, "Let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep." Jesus said, "In the same way there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to." One coin. Jesus told the people another story. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp, sweep the floor, and look carefully until she finds it? Then she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost." Jesus said, "In the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to him." Two sons. Jesus also told them another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread through that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'" The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found." And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, "What's going on here?" The servant answered, "Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf." The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, "For years I have worked for you like a slave, and have always obeyed you. But you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast." His father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost, and has now been found." A Dishonest Manager. Chapter 16. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man once had a manager to take care of his business, but he was told that his manager was wasting money. So the rich man called him in and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Tell me what you have done. You are no longer going to work for me.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is going to fire me? I can't dig ditches, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do.
so that people will welcome me into their homes after I've lost my job. Then, one by one, he called in the people who were in debt to his master. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe my master?" 100 barrels of olive oil," the man answered. So the manager said, "Take your bill and sit down and quickly write 50. The manager asked someone else who was in debt to his master, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," the man replied. The manager said, "Take your bill and write 800. The master praised his dishonest manager for looking out for himself so well. That's how it is. The people of this world look out for themselves better than the people who belong to the light. My disciples, I tell you to use wicked wealth to make friends for yourselves. Then when it is gone, you will be welcomed into an eternal home. Anyone who can be trusted in little matters can also be trusted in important matters, but anyone who is dishonest in little matters will be dishonest in important matters. If you cannot be trusted with this wicked wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? And if you cannot be trusted with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something that will be your own? You cannot be the slave of two masters. You will like one more than the other, or be more loyal to one than to the other. You cannot serve God and money. Some sayings of Jesus. The Pharisees really loved money. So when they heard what Jesus said, they made fun of him. But Jesus told them, "You are always making yourselves look good, but God sees what is in your heart. The things that most people think are important are worthless as far as God is concerned. Until the time of John the Baptist, people had to obey the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. But since God's kingdom has been preached, everyone is trying hard to get in. Heaven and earth will disappear before the smallest letter of the law does. It is a terrible sin for a man to divorce his wife and marry another woman. It is also a terrible sin for a man to marry a divorced woman." Lazarus and the Rich Man. There was once a rich man who wore expensive clothes and every day ate the best food. But a poor beggar named Lazarus was brought to the gate of the rich man's house. He was happy just to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. His body was covered with sores, and dogs kept coming up to lick them. The poor man died, and angels took him to the place of honor next to Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to hell and was suffering terribly. When he looked up and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, he said to Abraham, "Have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm suffering terribly in this fire." Abraham answered, "My friend, remember that while you lived, you had everything good and Lazarus had everything bad. Now he is happy and you are in pain. And besides, there is a deep ditch between us, and no one from either side can cross over." But the rich man said, "Abraham, then please send Lazarus to my father's home. Let him warn my 5 brothers so they won't come to this horrible place." Abraham answered, "Your brothers can read what Moses and the prophets wrote. They should pay attention to that." Then the rich man said, "No, that's not enough. If only someone from the dead would go to them, they would listen and turn to God." So Abraham said, "If they won't pay attention to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even to someone who comes back from the dead." Faith and Service. Chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be something that causes people to sin. But anyone who causes them to sin is in for trouble. A person who causes even one of my little followers to sin would be better off thrown into the ocean with a heavy stone tied around their neck. So be careful what you do. Correct any followers of mine who sin,
and forgive the ones who say they are sorry. Even if one of them mistreats you 7 times in one day and says, I am sorry, you should still forgive that person. The apostle said to the Lord, Make our faith stronger. Jesus replied, If you had faith no bigger than a tiny mustard seed, you could tell this mulberry tree to pull itself up, roots and all, and to plant itself in the ocean, and it would. If your servant comes in from plowing or from taking care of the sheep, would you say, Welcome, come on in and have something to eat? No, you wouldn't say that. You would say, Fix me something to eat. Get ready to serve me so I can have my meal. Then later on you can eat and drink. Servants don't deserve special thanks for doing what they are supposed to do. And that's how it should be with you. When you've done all you should, then say, We are merely servants, and we have simply done our duty. 10 men with leprosy. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy came toward him. They stood at a distance and shouted, Jesus! Master! Have pity on us! Jesus looked at them and said, Go show yourselves to the priests. On their way, they were healed. When one of them discovered that he was healed, he came back shouting praises to God. He bowed down at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. The man was from the country of Samaria. Jesus asked, Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Why was this foreigner the only one who came back to thank God? Then Jesus told the man, You may get up and go. Your faith has made you well. God's Kingdom. Some Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom would come. He answered, God's kingdom isn't something you can see. There is no use saying, Look, here it is, or Look, there it is. God's kingdom is here with you. Jesus said to his disciples, The time will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not. When people say to you, Look there, or Look here, don't go looking for him. The day of the Son of Man will be like lightning flashing across the sky. But first he must suffer terribly and be rejected by the people of today. When the Son of Man comes, things will be just as they were when Noah lived. People were eating, drinking, and getting married right up to the day when Noah went into the big boat. Then the flood came and drowned everyone on earth. When Lot lived, people were also eating and drinking. They were buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the very day Lot left Sodom, fiery flames poured down from the sky and killed everyone. The same will happen on the day when the Son of Man appears. At that time, no one on a rooftop should go down into the house to get anything. No one in a field should go back to the house for anything. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. People who try to save their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives will save them. On that night, 2 people will be sleeping in the same bed, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. 2 women will be together grinding wheat, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. Then Jesus' disciples spoke up. But where will this happen, Lord? Jesus said, Where there is a corpse, there will always be buzzards. A Widow and a Judge. Chapter 18. Jesus told his disciples a story about how they should keep on praying and never give up. In a town, there was once a judge who didn't fear God or care about people. In that same town, there was a widow who kept going to the judge and saying, Make sure that I get fair treatment in court. For a while, the judge refused to do anything. Finally, he said to himself, Even though I don't fear God or care about people, I will help this widow because she keeps on bothering me. If I don't help her, she will wear me out.
The Lord said,
Think about what that crooked judge said.
Won't God protect his chosen ones who pray to him day and night? Won't he be concerned for them? He will surely hurry and help them. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find on this earth anyone with faith?
A Pharisee and a Tax Collector. Jesus told a story to some people who thought they were better than others, and who looked down on everyone else.
Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood over by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not greedy, dishonest, and unfaithful in marriage like other people. And I am really glad that I am not like that tax collector over there. I go without eating for 2 days a week, and I give you 1/10 of all I earn. The tax collector stood off at a distance and did not think he was good enough even to look up toward heaven. He was so sorry for what he had done that he pounded his chest and prayed, God, have pity on me. I am such a sinner.
Then Jesus said,
When the two men went home, it was the tax collector and not the Pharisee who was pleasing to God. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored.
Jesus blesses little children.
Some people brought their little children for Jesus to bless. But when his disciples saw them doing this, they told the people to stop bothering him. So Jesus called the children over to him and said, Let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these children belong to God's kingdom. You will never get into God's kingdom unless you enter it like a child.
A rich and important man.
An important man asked Jesus, Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?
Jesus said,
Why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the commandments. Be faithful in marriage. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about others. Respect your father and mother.
He told Jesus, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was a young man.
When Jesus heard this, he said, There is one thing you still need to do. Go and sell everything you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and be my follower.
When the man heard this, he was sad, because he was very rich.
Jesus saw how sad the man was, so he said, It is terribly hard for rich people to get into God's kingdom. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into God's kingdom.
When the crowd heard this, they asked, How can anyone ever be saved?
Jesus replied, There are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything.
Peter said, Remember, we left everything to be your followers.
Jesus answered, You can be sure that anyone who gives up home, or wife, or brothers, or family, or children, because of God's kingdom, will be given much more in this life. And in the future world, they will have eternal life.
Jesus again tells about his death. Jesus took the 12 apostles aside and said,
We are now on our way to Jerusalem. Everything that the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will happen there. He will be handed over to foreigners who will make fun of him, mistreat him, and spit on him. They will beat him and kill him, but 3 days later he will rise to life.
The apostles did not understand what Jesus was talking about. They could not understand because the meaning of what he said was hidden from them.
Jesus heals a blind beggar.
When Jesus was coming close to Jericho, a blind man sat begging beside the road.
The man heard the crowd walking by and asked what was happening. Some people told him that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by. So the blind man shouted, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." The people who were going along with Jesus told the man to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and told some people to bring the blind man over to him. When the blind man was getting near, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?"
"Lord, I want to see," he answered.
Jesus replied, "Look, and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." Right away, the man could see, and he went with Jesus and started thanking God. When the crowd saw what happened, they praised God. Zacchaeus. Chapter 19. Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today." Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Everyone who saw this started grumbling, "This man Zacchaeus is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him?" Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back 4 times as much to everyone I have ever cheated." Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, you and your family have been saved, because you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who were lost." A story about 10 servants. The crowd was still listening to Jesus as he was getting close to Jerusalem. Many of them thought that God's kingdom would soon appear, and Jesus told them this story. A prince once went to a foreign country to be crowned king and then to return. But before leaving, he called in 10 servants and gave each of them some money. He told them, "Use this to earn more money until I get back." But the people of his country hated him, and they sent messengers to the foreign country to say, "We don't want this man to be our king." After the prince had been made king, he returned and called in his servants. He asked them how much they had earned with the money they had been given. The first servant came and said, "Sir, with the money you gave me, I have earned 10 times as much." "That's fine, my good servant," the king said. "Since you have shown that you can be trusted with a small amount, you will be given 10 cities to rule." The second one came and said, "Sir, with the money you gave me, I have earned 5 times as much." The king said, "You will be given 5 cities. Another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your money. I kept it safe in a handkerchief. You are a hard man, and I was afraid of you. You take what isn't yours, and you harvest crops you didn't plant." "You worthless servant," the king told him. "You have condemned yourself by what you have just said. You knew that I am a hard man, taking what isn't mine and harvesting what I've not planted. Why didn't you put my money in the bank? On my return, I could have had the money together with interest." Then he said to some other servants standing there, "Take the money away from him, and give it to the servant who earned 10 times as much." But they said, "Sir, he already has 10 times as much." The king replied, "Those who have something will be given more, but everything will be taken away from those who don't have anything. Now bring me the enemies who didn't want me to be their king. Kill them while I watch." Jesus enters Jerusalem. When Jesus had finished saying all this, he went on toward Jerusalem. As he was getting near Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples on ahead. He told them, Go into the next village where you will find a young donkey that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are doing that, just say, "The Lord needs it." They went off and found everything just as Jesus had said. While they were untying the donkey, its owners asked, "Why are you doing that?" They answered, "The Lord needs it." Then they led the donkey to Jesus. They put some of their clothes on its back and helped Jesus get on. And as he rode along, the people spread clothes on the road in front of him. When Jesus was starting down the Mount of Olives, his large crowd of disciples were happy and praised God because of all the miracles they had seen. They shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory to God!" Some Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, make your disciples stop shouting." But Jesus answered, "If they keep quiet, these stones will start shouting." When Jesus came closer and could see Jerusalem, he cried and said, "It is too bad that today your people don't know what will bring them peace. Now it is hidden from them. Jerusalem, the time will come when your enemies will build walls around you to attack you. Armies will surround you and close in on you from every side. They will level you to the ground and kill your people. Not one stone in your buildings will be left on top of another. This will happen because you did not see that God had come to save you." Jesus in the Temple. When Jesus entered the temple, he started chasing out the people who were selling things. He told them, "The scriptures say my house should be a place of worship, but you have made it a place where robbers hide." Each day, Jesus kept on teaching in the temple. So the chief priests, the teachers of the law of Moses, and some other important people